This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living. I'm Lee Chui Lin. You may have noticed a new buzzword in health news recently: text neck. Text neck is literally a pain in the neck. It's a modern spine ailment, the term used to describe neck pain and damage sustained from looking down at your tech devices too frequently and for too long. Trying to explain this today to those of us who may be afflicted by it without understanding it truly is consultant orthopedic surgeon Dr. Rajesh Singh. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Lynn. Always a pleasure to be here.
So how many people are you seeing with text neck? Is it just something that we're reading about or something that's actually happening in clinics?
Look, it does happen in clinic. I think it's a new name for an old problem, right? So the simplest way to understand this is if you're a woman, think about your handbag. And if you're a man, to think about your leather belt. Now, what happens to your handbag that you keep in a particular position? So let's say you've got a very expensive leather handbag that you keep at the bottom of a cupboard and you pile some stuff on it. So you go back and look at the handbag 3 months later, what's happened to the leather?
It's stretched out.
It's dented, it's kinked, it doesn't keep its normal shape. And if a man wears a belt and he wears the belt every day in the same way, in the same fashion, the belt changes shape. So the belt, and you can change the shape back. You know, you can stuff some newspaper into the handbag. You can put some moisturizer on it. You know, you can wear the belt the other way. You can stretch it out. You can sun it. You can moisturize. There's lots of things you can do. And the whole musculoskeletal system is exactly the same. And so text neck is basically where you have elements of the skeletal system that you've squashed like a handbag or stretched like a belt. So if you keep your neck in one position for a very long time, for any sort of activity, it's like squashing a handbag or stretching a belt. So in the old days, I'm starting to sound old when I say that.
Aren't we all? It's okay.
It used to be the same with books. You know, if you sat hunched over a ledger, crunching numbers every day, or if you were in a manufacturing job that had you kept in one position, looking down a conveyor belt or doing sort of menial repetitive tasks, you'd get the same sort of problems. It's just that these days, instead of doing those sorts of tasks, we're now using devices, and the devices then give us text neck.
Is our neck, or are our necks not built to look down? I mean, you would assume that with the kind of range of motion that we have, that we can turn from side to side, look up, look down, that it's kind of made to be able to look down. So what's the problem with looking down?
Isn't your belt made to hold up trousers?
Sure.
It's exactly the point. So the whole idea is the skeletal system isn't made to do one thing for a long time. It's meant to be constantly moving. That's why we get this motion is the lotion kind of situation. So, you know, my kids on the holidays, which they had, they were just, you know, crammed over their iPads. And, you know, before going to bed, my daughter says to me, my neck hurts. I go, let's go through this exercise. Now, why do you think that may be? And they go, not again. Right? So the idea in neck pain is really to think about what generates the pain, what structures can the pain come from. And once we have an idea of what structures the pain can come from, then we have an idea of sort of what's the differential diagnosis. Also, the less young you get, the less, recoverable your leather belt is or your handbag is. So, you know, a new handbag bounces back pretty quickly, my wife tells me. the older ones don't so much, so we get new handbags when the old ones are squished. So one of the very common symptoms that people have is neck pain. And so the question is then, where does it hurt? If it hurts right at the base of the head, and that goes away when you sort of stretch or look back, then that's probably likely to be from muscle fascia. If it's right in the midline, where you can actually sort of say in the furrow in the middle of your neck, if it hurts exactly there, that's likely to be one of the deeper skeletal elements, like the bones or some of the small joints between the bones, or some of the ligaments that hold the joints together. If it's more diffuse or towards sort of the side of your mid-neck, mid-neck is basically where the chin ends. That sort of defines the mid-neck. So if it's somewhere at the mid-neck, then it's again more likely to be muscular. Now here's where it gets interesting. If it goes from the mid-neck to the shoulder, the nape of the neck, where people often sort of, you know, massage their shoulders, 90% of the time that's coming from the shoulder. This is one of the interesting things that people don't realize. They don't realize that the shoulder blades are actually hung off the cervical spine. So if you had, again, going back to the analogy of a bag with a strap, if you're holding the bag by the strap, the bag's the shoulder blade, the straps are all the muscles which hang the shoulder blade onto the upper back and the neck. So 50% of what I see with taxed neck is actually shoulder pain. Because think about it, when you're holding a device, your arm, your shoulder, your elbow, your hand is in a position to match your neck. So there's sort of this reciprocal relationship where you either stress the neck or you stress the shoulder. If you stress the neck hurts. If you stress the shoulder hurts. And shoulder pain is often felt as neck pain.
What is the reason for that? Is it just because of that connection, or is it because of a confusion when people come in and say, well, look, this hurts?
Okay, the first reason is because of MRIs, right? So that's probably the single most common reason is age. The second most common reason is an MRI. So somebody will come to me and say, I've got a C5, C6. What can you do about it? I say, well, okay, who told you you have a C5, C6? Let's sort of put that MRI away and go back to your symptoms. And the symptoms will be, so there's, remember this gentleman, he's a draftsman. So he works, he's an architect and he does a lot of drafting. And his complaint was of pain between his upper shoulder blades, not in his neck proper. He'd had an MRI and he had a C5, C6 disc bulge and he was told he had a slip disc. Well, everybody has that. It's an inevitable consequence of the aging process. So at 50, you're allowed to have it. It doesn't mean it's causing a problem. And his pain was actually coming from a particular irritation of a particular muscle over a particular bone, right? So that's because in that activity that he did, he kept a repetitive activity and that activity caused unusual changes or surrounding a particular muscle called serratus posterior superior. And just where the muscle was rubbing over a particular rib, it was sore. And he said it got a lot worse after he went for a massage. Initially, it's just a little bit achy. So that was the functional part of his problem, where he overused a particular part of a muscle. And that problem from being functional then became structural when somebody decided to jam their elbow into it and give it a good rub for a few minutes.
With that said, is there then an ideal way to be using our devices so that we're not going to be dealing with the sort of reciprocal pain?
Yep, absolutely. So the first thing is the device has to be supported. So this idea of holding a device and using it is a bad one. Right. Unfortunately, I'm as guilty as anybody else. So, you know, I'm stuck in traffic going, ooh, excellent. Right. Here's 30 minutes to send off an email or, you know, a badly worded text.
That's several sins all at once, Dr. Rajesh. I mean, that's sitting in a car and texting.
Provided I'm standing still in traffic going, dum-da-dum-da-dum-da-dum. Look, KL and Rain, you have to give me that at least.
That's true, but this is not advice that we are giving to people now in their cars,
of
to be
course,
fair.
Of course. Please do not text while driving. It is bad, not good. Anybody watch South Park?
No. Okay. I don't think we want to go down that particular path. But you were saying?
Texting is bad. All right. Anyhow. So the idea is... the device should be properly supported. So let's go back one generation and look at sort of the keyboard neck, right? So the keyboard neck is probably the thing that preceded the text neck. Now, any of you who are listening to this in your office, this is what I want you to do. I want you to grab your keyboard off your table and put it on your lap. Sit up straight and make sure that your keyboard's on your lap and not on the desk. So that's actually the correct position in which for you to be typing on a keyboard. That's assuming you can touch type. And the mouse should be similarly built into the keyboard at the same level. So what you have there is you have your elbows resting loose by your side and your fingers resting on the keyboard. So if you try that now, you'll find that there's actually no tension on your upper back, your neck or your shoulders. So that's the sort of correct position to be able to use a keyboard for a long period of time. Unfortunately, nobody does it. So then what happens is there is a change within a structure. So going back to the example of our belt or a handbag, the leather starts to tear, it starts to crack, and then they end up coming to see me.
If you've got any questions today, we're talking about text neck, or more specific, I guess we're talking about neck pain as a whole. If you have any questions, do give us a call. That number is 03-7710-9000. You can also reach us by texting 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living today on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. My guest is consultant orthopedic surgeon Dr. Rajesh Singh. We're talking about text neck, or if we don't want to be so fancy about it, we're talking about neck pain that can be caused by too much smartphone usage, keyboard usage, since nobody, as you rightly point out, I've never seen anybody type the way you described earlier in that position.
Yeah, it's the correct way, but it doesn't mean that it's easy to do, particularly because you have to be able to touch type. And a lot of people can't touch type. So if you can't touch type, then you end up looking down at your keyboard, which is, again, the wrong thing to do.
It's just a hard life, really. We are taking your questions. If you would like to ask anything to do with neck pain, that number to call is 03-7710-9000. You can also reach us by texting 016-201-9000 or tweeting us at BFM Radio. Are there any other symptoms that come with it? I mean, earlier we got as far as the shoulders, but might you also see something like tingling in the fingers, issues like that?
Yep. So I think that's probably one of the things that worry people a great deal. So when they get tingling in the fingers, or when they get a little bit of weakness. So remember I said that the C5, C6 sort of slip disc, if you want to call it, that is universal. So it's weakness in a particular nerve called the C6 nerve root. So what this nerve is required for is turning things with a hard pinch. So say, for example, the classic textbook teaching is, you know, little old lady now can't turn her taps anymore. So she needs sort of a lever tap to be able to turn it, or she can't open small doorknobs anymore. So those are sort of some of the changes that occur in the skeleton with aging. And you were sort of talking about like sort of 65, 70 and beyond here, not before that. So going back to tingling, tingling is a symptom of a nerve being compressed, as is weakness. And they don't necessarily have to go together. So tingling is more nerve irritation. Weakness is more the nerve is sort of mechanically compromised and can't do its job anymore. So one of the very common associations with neck pain, or this sort of slip disc in the neck, is tingling in the hand. That having been said, though, I'll say the same thing that I do when I teach undergraduates, postgraduates, and at any meeting. Nerve compression is assumed to be at more than one source until proven otherwise. You know, there's sort of no better way of saying it. If somebody has tingling in a particular area of the body, the question is, well, let's work out where the nerve is compressed. And you can't just accept one answer. You can't say, well, you've got carpal tunnel syndrome. You know, that's sort of the common, you know, the index thumb and middle finger tingle, particularly at night. Almost, I'd say 20-30% of the time, I find a higher compression of the nerve as well. So this is called the double crush phenomenon, where you have some age-related compression of the nerve in the neck, followed by some other compression of the nerve somewhere else, which sort of triggers a set of symptoms which would normally otherwise not arise.
We've got a pair of phone calls right now. We'll start with Aman. Good afternoon, Aman.
Yes, good afternoon. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Okay. I'd just like to know, if I have a neck pain, do I go search for chiropractic? What is the difference between the two?
I'm sorry, Aman, I missed you. What do you go for?
Massage.
Right.
Masseo,
yeah.
Or for to go and get a treatment by the chiropractic.
Okay.
So,
okay, thanks.
I'm going to say the orthopedic person. All right.
Okay, thanks, Aman.
Thank you.
Okay, this is going to get me into hot soup whichever way I answer, right? You should go to someone who can give you a clear and logical demonstration of your symptoms and a clear anatomic-based understanding of what your problem's going on, who doesn't sign you up for a package of 24 or 48 treatments, right? So that's probably the right person.
Does it have to be an orthopedic surgeon?
No, it can be anybody. Anyone who, you know, I as I keep saying, I work lots with physical trainers, guys, you know, the people who train people at gyms, anybody. Anyone who's willing to sort of stand up and take responsibility for somebody else's health, you want to be pretty brave to be able to do that. So if you're willing to do that and you're willing to say, well, okay, I'm willing to take responsibility for this and here's what the problem is, that's okay. But to answer Aman's question, whether you see a physiotherapist or a chiropractor, you should see someone who can give you...
Or a masseuse.
You need... Going for a massage on occasion, probably no harm. You know, you had sort of 3 days of, you know, auditors in your office. Okay, that's fine. You probably deserve it. Have a massage, relieve all the muscular tension. It comes back in 2 days, you know, you do the same thing again, then you got to think, hang on, something's not going quite right here. So the idea of who you go to is really somebody who can give you a sense and understanding of what's going on and also a perspective and progress as to where you should go. And I completely disagree with the idea that you need supplemental treatment lifelong. As a result of the erect posture. That doesn't make any sense to me.
We have Bernard on the line now. Good afternoon, Bernard.
Hi, good afternoon, Islam. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Okay. Yeah. So, Doc, I've just got a question. I'm calling instead of texting, so I'm taking your advice very well. So my question is actually on two things, shoulder instability and a bone spur, because it was caused by a bone spur as well. And the second one is on the degenerative lumbar on L3, L4, and L5.
Mm-hmm. Those are broad topics, Bernard. You need to be a little bit more specific.
Okay. I'm having L3, L4, L5 degenerative lumbar. I was told by my chiropractor.
Yeah.
So I'm going through muscle strengthening, any conditioning, and things like that. So I just want to find out if there is any way that, apart from going to the knife, underneath the knife, or with a knife, is there any other better way that I can move forward with this?
Okay, so let's start. I'll guesstimate you're somewhere between 45 to 50?
Exactly.
Okay. All right, so the reason why I know that is because that's what happens to your spine when you hit 45 to 50. You get degenerative spine disease. It's an inevitable consequence of aging. So the question that should be asked is, what disability do you have? Do you have back pain, leg pain, pain during sports? What you cannot do?
Pain during sport.
Pain during sport. Okay, so pain during sport now is a completely different topic than L3, L4, L5, lumbar degenerative disease, right? So the question that you should be asked is more about your sport and your activity and what sort of pain that you have during sport, rather than the treatment for your lower back, in my humble opinion. Because, again, it just begs the question, if everybody has it, why is it different in you?
Okay.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Bernard.
Thanks, Doc. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. I do have a follow-on question for that, although because I do think that from a patient's point of view, you hear a diagnosis mm-hmm. and you want to make sure that you don't make anything worse. Mm-hmm. In some cases, you want to make that diagnosis go away. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you might have, you might be running slower because your knees hurt mm-hmm. in sports, for example, mm-hmm. doesn't enter as much as, well, I don't want my lower back pain to get worse. I mean, how do you divorce the two? It might be, it sounds simple enough when you say it, mm-hmm. but for somebody who has that diagnosis, mm-hmm. how do you kind of differentiate it for yourself?
Okay, so labels are sticky, right? And when I teach medical students, I say to them, be very careful about giving somebody a label because that label doesn't go away. And oftentimes that label carries with them for life with negative repercussions for health. So this is what I would say is over-doctoring as opposed to, you know, under-diagnosis. To answer your question of I don't want it to get worse, it's like saying I don't want to have a car accident. Well, drive carefully, make sure your car's in good condition, be cognizant of the weather and be cognizant of yourself.
And fix the oil if it needs fixing.
And fix the oil if right. it needs fixing, right? So that's sort of it's at Milan Kundera, the unbearable lightness of being, right? That's the human condition. So everybody suffers it, including doctors. You know, my foot tingles, my left foot tingles, and I know when it tingles that it's my L5 because I know exactly what nerves involved and I know exactly what process is going on. And I know that if I leave it long enough, it'll probably go away and I don't need surgery. So that's the other thing about spine surgery for degenerative back disease. It's been established unequivocally by a large paper called the Main Spine Study. that if you have mechanical source back pain from degenerative back disease, and if you have surgery to relieve the back pain, just from mechanical degeneration, nothing else, your one-year result is better than somebody who doesn't have an operation. Your five-year result is exactly the same. So to answer Bernard's question earlier of do you need the knife, answer is if you have no weakness, no disturbance in bladder and bowel function, and no intractable pain going down your legs, then you probably don't need the knife. What you need is a fair and reasonable logic-based assessment which gives you a biomechanical overview of where you are, what you're doing, what the extra requirements are, and not a label. So, you know, I think that, so the question...
A plan as opposed to a label.
A plan as opposed to a label, I like that. I like that. You should...
You can loan it.
It's mine. All right. So the idea is, you know, if you say, what do I do when I go to somebody? The answer is, do you walk away with a plan or do you walk away with a label? I think the biggest thing that healthcare providers provide is education. We educate people one by one about what the nature of their problem is. The challenge that we have is the quasi-educated and the over-educated. I remember somebody at the Health and Living event that we had who got up, pronounced their diagnosis, pronounced the fact that they were now cured with this herbal treatment, and challenged not myself, but the speaker after me on that. And the really funny thing was that here was someone who wasn't asking for help. Here was someone who wasn't asking for an education. Here was someone who wasn't asking for knowledge. It was someone wanting to pick a fight. And healthcare is not the section. Healthcare is not the place to pick a fight, because you end up losing. The healthcare provider doesn't end up losing. You end up losing. So the correct engagement with the healthcare provider, and the healthcare provider can be your masseuse, can be the Tita, can be the BOMO, it can be the orthopedic surgeon, physiotherapist, chiropractor. It doesn't matter. But the terms of engagement should be: help me define my problem, and give me a plan to work that out.
On that note, we have Choi, who's come in via text, who says, Dr. Rajesh, I have a pain, numbness running down my upper left arm. Is it anything that might be related to text neck? And how do I get rid of that occasional sharp pain?
Okay, so two different questions here, Choi. One question is, if you have pain in the neck, then that's probably a focal thing like a text neck. If you have pain running down the arm, then that's, you know, firstly, you've got to make sure that it's not a heart attack, particularly if it's on your left side. But it sounds like it's something sort of episodic, recurrent, and hasn't killed you yet. So it's unlikely to be. Or it sounds like, you know, it could just be a nerve impingement. And, you know, nerve impingement can be a component of text neck, where you have the posture or position of the neck being compromised temporarily such that the nerve is impinged. Impinged, literally like someone pinching you, your skin on the outside, right? So the aim there is to take frequent breaks from texting, look at yourself in the mirror, do a chin tuck exercise. So look at yourself sideways in the mirror, give yourself a big double chin, and that's the correct position for resting your neck backwards. Because the neck tends to want to droop forward all the time. That's sort of a consequence of being erect and gravity. So if you actually tuck your chin back, they're sort of called chin tuck exercises, that's the exercise to build the muscles which do the reverse. So that's sort of a simple exercise that you can do. Another really good version is if you're stuck in traffic and Lynn has now barred you from texting, you can...
It's not Lynn, it's the law. You know, I'm merely pointing this out.
The law according to Lynn. All right. What you can do is you can push the headrest back. So if you have a correctly positioned headrest, you can push the headrest back. And that's a good exercise to do to overcome text neck as well.
Pain comes in all these different forms. Mm. Choi here mentioned the occasional sharp pain. Mm. When we're talking about nerve impingement, are there different types of pain, or you feel this pain and you're like, okay, well, that's probably my nerve?
Okay, so my analogy with pain is like chili. So you chili is chili, but chili has different flavor. So the chili padi that you have in fried rice is different to the nasi lemak sambal chili, is different to the green chili that you eat at the hawk shop, is different to pepper chili, but they're all chili. So pain similarly has a flavor as well. And the characteristic of nerve pain is very classic. It is a traveling pain that runs from point A to point B and it's instantaneous and it's very sharp. So I asked the patient once, do you have electric shock type pain running down your arm? And she said, I've never had electric shock before. What does that feel like? It's very, very fair statement. So that's the sort of one type of pain where you hit a nerve, or if you hit your funny bone, if you've ever done that, right? You hit your elbow and you go, ow, that's sort of a nerve pain. The other type of pain that can emit from a nerve is this thing called a neuropathic pain, which is sort of a sense of it's really uncomfortable. So aircon touches your skin, you feel like hot fires on your skin. You're having a shower with tepid water, it feels like you've got freezing cold water on your skin. So that's nerve dysfunction as well, but that's not a pinched nerve. That's what we call dysfunction of the nerve itself. That's called, the medical term is the dysesthesia, which literally just means unpleasant sensation. So those are probably the two types of nerve pains that you could have.
If you've got any questions about text neck, or just questions about neck pain, or tell us, you know, do you often look down to use your phone? Are you guilty of this? That number to call is 03-7710-9000. You can also reach us by texting 016-201-9000 or tweeting us at BFM Radio. I'm going to make an assumption of Choi. I'm not sure if it's accurate, but I'm presuming that Choi hasn't been to a doctor since he or she is asking. Mm. So if that's the case, I mean, at what point do you need to go and see a doctor? Because sharp pain, I think, tends to be more worrying than those sorts of long-term aches that we grow used to living with.
Mm. Okay, that's a difficult question. I think if you're worried, go see a doctor. You know, that's probably what I'd start with. Again, just thinking philosophically about healthcare, it's one of those things which is very, very personal. And although it's, you know, healthcare is provided in public, the public healthcare sphere, the private healthcare sphere, and other spheres, fundamentally, health is an extremely private, individual issue, right? So you're born with it, you die with it. And one of the things that I always tell people is don't accept that, don't worry about it. If you're worried, get help. If you are, or just get an opinion. So if Choi says, yeah, look, you know, it's not really something that concerns me, you know, all my body bits work, they work well, then I'd say you can probably leave it alone until the point that it becomes recurrent, consistent, or persistent, at which time you probably need to see someone about it. But one of the sort of my favorite stories with personal idea of healthcare is this man who had this morbid fear of prostate cancer. And you know, he would go off and demand a prostate test for years and years until his doctor said to him, no, you can't have them anymore. That's ridiculous. And he developed prostate cancer. The type of prostate cancer that he developed was the type which wouldn't have given him an elevated prostate blood test anyway. So the issue there was that his healthcare provider didn't provide him with healthcare. His healthcare provider provided him with a blood test. So, and I think that's the thing that patients have to ask, does this make sense to me? And if it doesn't make sense to you as a layperson, then you probably need to ask a little bit harder.
We have a call now from Fo. Good afternoon, Fo.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Fo. Hi, doctor. I just make my question short. I have this on my shoulder, right side. It's been a nagging pain for almost a month after went traveling with a heavy baggage. So after coming back, I went to see a doctor. The doctor gave me some anti-inflammatory medicine called Arcosia. I took it for a few days, and then after I stopped it, then the pain comes back. So what should I do, doctor?
Okay, so can you sleep on that shoulder, Fo?
No, I can't.
You can't sleep on that shoulder. All right.
Yeah.
So you need a proper assessment then. So I'll assume you're 50 or over.
I am 42.
42. Okay, wrong assumption. How heavy was the bag for?
With some water, jacket, umbrella, and that kind of, maybe in the 10-15 kg.
10-15 kg. Did you pull it off the carousel?
I was traveling in Europe with my family, so
right.
I carried quite a number of stuff.
Okay, so and was this like in a backpack kind of style or a single arm?
Single arm.
Okay, so I see. So backpack slung over single arm, and now you can't sleep on that side. Okay, for this, do you smoke?
Sorry? Sorry, I don't smoke.
You don't smoke. Okay, that's great. Thanks for the information then. Okay, so...
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you. The problem that you have there is irritation of a tendon, and that irritation has now struck some inflammation. And the inflammation then produces scar, and then movement produces more inflammation. So this cycle is become permanent. That's why you can't sleep on that side. Because what happens when you sleep on that side is you're stressing the scar which has been formed by inflammation. And that's why the acoxia works, because what the acoxia does is it stops the inflammation for a period of time. So for it sounds like you need to be properly assessed by someone who is familiar with conditions of the shoulders. You need to be properly assessed, and we need to work out, are you in that stage of you will get better by yourself, be it with either restriction of activity or enhancement of certain activity in the form of physiotherapy, or will you need an intervention to break the sort of inflammation scar pain cycle? But if Fo would be a classic neck pain patient, he would come in after a period of time forgetting his travels and saying, "Doc, you know, now my neck hurts." And if you delve deeply into the history, the pain would have started in the shoulder and then gone on to the neck. So if you look at the neck, send him for an x-ray, say, "Oh, look, you've got cervical spondylosis." Well, welcome to 43. You have cervical spondylosis.
On the bright side, Fo can now send his doctor this podcast, which has a pretty thorough history taking. So in case you forget your travels, Fo, we have it on record.
For public consumption.
And posterity, yes. We are continuing to take phone calls today. If you've got any questions about neck pain, or if you would like to just call and confess to being guilty to using your phone too much, we would also love to hear that. That number to call is 03-7710-9000. You can text us at 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back after the market update. BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is still Health and Living. I am still Lee Chui Lin. Dr. Rajesh Singh is still Dr. Rajesh Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon. And today we're talking about text neck, that's actually quite hard to say. I've been saying it all show. Text neck. Just neck pain that can result from staying in one position for too long, for crouching down over phones and iPads and laptops and the like. We are taking your phone calls. We'd love to hear from you. If you would like to ask anything at all about neck pain or text neck, or, if you are perhaps guilty of using technology in a way that's not super healthy, give us a call. That number is 03-7710-9000. Text 016-201-9000 or tweet at BFM Radio. We have Mrs. Wong on the line. Good afternoon, Mrs. Wong.
Hello. Yes, I'm Mrs. Wong.
Mm-hmm.
I have used to now and then feel a tired feeling at the nape, you know, of the neck, the center part of the back of the neck. So what's causing it? Because normally what I do is I put a medicated oil, feng yao, just to forget about the tired feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes I take multi B to it helps a bit.
Okay.
But I want to know what's causing it.
Okay, Mrs. Wong, can you dress yourself in the morning? Can you easily reach your bra strap?
Yes.
You can easily reach your bra strap. Okay, can you reach your hands over your head to comb your hair easily?
Yes.
Okay, so if you can do those things, it's unlikely to be coming from your shoulder. It's more likely to be coming from your neck.
When I was young, I had this problem with it.
When you were young, how old were you when it started?
Since childhood, I always tend to bend over my neck just to get some relief.
Okay, interesting. If you've had it since childhood, then my diagnosis would be scoliosis. And that scoliosis is basically a curvature of the spine. And it may be very mild, but that would be the most logical explanation for mid-back tiredness from childhood into adulthood and beyond.
It's like at the nape there, you know, there's the hollow there.
Correct.
Right where the neck joins to the head.
Yeah.
That center part, you know, always has a tired feeling.
Has a tired feeling, okay.
Yeah.
So, again, if you say to me that tired feeling is there, that feeling usually emanates, well, it is a tired feeling because the muscles are having to work harder than normal to support a skeleton which perhaps isn't exactly in the right posture. So
me, I was born like that, is it?
Not having had the opportunity to examine you, it's probably a little bit hard to say, but if you ask me what condition can result in pain or discomfort where the neck joins the thorax from childhood into adulthood and beyond, then the answer would be a condition, medical condition called scoliosis.
S-C-O-L-I-O-S-I-S.
Scoliosis. So you can Google that and sort of take that as a starting point, and you can even just get someone to look at you from the back as you're standing up and just see whether your spine is entirely straight or not. So that'll give you sort of a starting point to consider, you know, what am I going to do if I do have a very mild scoliosis? And a lot of these things get better with simple exercises targeted at specific muscle groups which can compensate for the scoliosis if you have one.
Hope that helps, Mrs. Wong. Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you.
We have Azmin now. Good afternoon, Azmin.
Yes, afternoon. Dr. Rajiv, I have a question because you discussed about lower back pain and knee pain from one of the callers. So my question is, if you change your shoes, let's say with you have a certain type of footwear that can help with lower back pain and knee pain, will it help? So something like the one they're selling, Medifeet or StepCan, things like that. Can it help with lower back pain and your knee pain? Thank you.
Thank you, Azmin.
Okay, Azmin. So let's go through this. A shoe is an adaptation of a God-given foot to a non-God-given surface. So my answer is, if you can walk around on a flat grassy surface which is soft without any back pain, and then when you're walking on hard modern surfaces and you have back pain, then yes, the shoe is likely to help. If you can walk on reasonably compact beach sand, perhaps just where the water meets the shoreline, and you can do that comfortably without back pain, and on another surface you have back pain, then yes, the shoe is likely to help.
Just to soften that impact?
Not necessarily. It's to change the biomechanics slightly. So from the point at which your ground hits the your foot hits the ground, or the ground hits the foot, depending on which perspective you're at, to the force traveling all the way up. So yes, shoe wear does make a difference to lower limb pain. Again, going on principle, I can't bring myself to agree with the automatic, you have back pain, so you need a particular type of shoe kind of arrangement. I don't think that's sort of very fair and reasonable. I think an assessment of the biomechanics, looking at what specific issues there are, is helpful. But if your answer is, does footwear affect lower limb pain? The answer is definitively. If the question is, I have back pain, do I need special shoes? The answer is no.
We are continuing to take phone calls today. That number is 03-7710-9000. We've had calls about lower back pain now. We started off at neck, but, you know, really, I guess it's becoming anywhere on the musculoskeletal system.
No, it's because the neck is part of a spring. It's a very, very long spring, and the spring goes from the base of the neck right until the tailbone. So I think if you talk about neck pain or text neck, it's really involving the whole spine. It's not just sort of confined to that one particular area. And often somebody will have low back pain, and then, you know, a couple of years later they'll have neck pain, and then a couple of years later they'll have mid back pain. It's part of the whole structure degenerating. So if you don't look at the structure as a whole, then you kind of miss the point.
Which is why you can call about almost anything today. That number is 03-7710-9000. You can call or you can text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have Clara on the line. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Clara here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to find out from the doctor. I have this pain that radiates from the shoulder right up to the whole arm on the left arm. Okay. But when I've been using muscle relaxant to rub on it every night. But when I did some pressure point pressing, I found that the pain is also on the neck. That means when I press the neck, the pain is also there.
Okay, Clara, is when you press on the neck, is it just the pain on the neck, or does it make the pain run down your arm?
When I press the pain on the neck, it sort of relieves the pain in the whole arm.
Okay.
When I let it go, the pain is there.
Okay. All right. That's very common, Clara. Let me ask a couple other questions. Is it on your right hand or your left hand?
Left hand.
And are you right-handed or left-handed?
I'm a right-handed.
You're right-handed. Yeah. What's the nature of your job? Do you sit at a desk all day or are you up and about?
No, I'm up and about. I'm in sales.
You're in sales. So lots of driving?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. What about carrying of bags or samples or things like that?
Oh, I carry on my left shoulder.
You carry on your left shoulder. Well, there you go. That's the money then. All right. Thanks, Clara. Okay, so the idea, the condition that you have is actually very, very common. And the question is just to identify what the trigger is. The running pain has to be from nerves which are impinged most commonly. Occasionally, it can be this thing called a referred or a shadow pain. But what you're describing to me sounds like nerve impingement between layers of muscles, which I see commonly almost every single day. And the question is just identifying which layer of muscle and which nerves are impinged and working out how to relieve that impingement. And the impingement doesn't happen at the level of the spine where the nerve exits the spinal canal. The impingement actually happens further down. So if a simple first thing to do would be, instead of carrying your sales samples on your left, try carrying your sales samples on your right for a while. So go for a good massage, get the relief, and then try carrying your samples on the other side. And see whether it takes longer for the pain to come back or whether the pain doesn't come back on the left and comes back on the right. And if it does, then you really have a clear cause of what your symptom or what your problem was. And if it doesn't relieve with that, then you know, get a proper professional opinion. It's a very common and solvable problem.
A question here. I crack my neck often. Sometimes a sharp pain accompanies and then a dull pain remains. Should I worry, and is neck cracking detrimental? I'm just going to add on there to back cracking as well. Is that a problem?
Okay, so the question is, what actually happens in a crack, right? So what generates the crack? If you take a knuckle, for example, in a knuckle, it's like pulling a suction cup off a wall. So if you have a suction cup stuck in the bathroom and you pull the suction cup off, you get this sort of pop sound. That's what's happening in the joint. So if you are cracking your back, per se, to my knowledge, it's not harmful. The question is, if there's some other underlying instability going on, as in like, what was the feeling for you to need to want to crack your neck? That's probably the question I would ask, right? And it's usually a sense of sort of tightness or spasm or discomfort that you're relieving by cracking your neck. And what you're doing there is all the muscles are in a certain tension. You're just resetting the tension. And you're resetting it by loosening all the joints. It's the same thing that a manual therapist would do, you know, with a chiropractor or something like that when they crack your back. So to answer your question, is cracking of joints bad per se? Answer is no. But there's usually an underlying cause or reason why you feel the need to have to do them. And that cause or reason will probably need to be assessed, particularly if it's associated with a persistent dull ache after. There's likely to be something wrong. Sort of structurally, and that probably needs to be assessed.
A call from Richard now. Good afternoon, Richard.
Good afternoon. I've got a question for doctor. On last Friday, I lift something heavy and I feel the back pain. And on the third day, I feel my right thigh painful, you see. Why is it from the back and then now go to the thigh? In fact, I'm still feeling the pain now. That's the question.
Okay. Thanks for the question, Richard. So let me take you to the fuse box of your house. Somebody takes a hammer and whacks the fuse box. And then you go, hey, how come the fan in my room not working? Because you've just banged the wires from the fuse box which supply the fan to your room. So that's exactly what's happened in your back. Sounds to me like you've got an acute, meaning sudden, injury to a disc in the back, and that's causing pressure on one of the nerves. If after 3 days it's still there or it's getting progressively worse, you'd probably want to get it assessed properly, Richard. It's not something that I would leave alone for a long period of time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Richard.
Thank you.
And now Eric on the line. Good afternoon, Eric.
Hi, doctors. I have two questions. I have a scoliosis problems. I've done my MRI test 5 years ago. The curve is about 30 degrees, and my age now is 38. I'm just wondering that will my scoliosis get worse when I'm getting older? And the second question is my neck is a little bit discomfort recently, and I always have to twist it and to have a sound of crack, right? Then only I will feel a little bit comfort. So is that normal or is that linked to the scoliosis problems that I had?
Okay.
Any questions for Eric?
No, I think, so Eric, did you have an MRI or did you have an X-ray to establish the angle? Usually the angle is established on an X-ray, not an MRI.
I have done X-ray together with MRI.
At the same time. Okay, that's logical. Okay, look, Eric, 38 degrees is not a small angle, right? Do you know which way is it? Is it a thoracic angle or cervical angle or lumbar angle? Where's the angle?
It's a thoracic angle.
Thoracic angle. Okay, that's fine. Okay.
Thanks, Eric.
So I think this probably really gives the idea of you need a skeleton to fight gravity. So your skeleton now is not completely straight, and because it's not completely straight, you're having to work harder than somebody else's skeleton who is straight, and the stress that you're feeling in your neck is entirely normal in relation to your scoliosis. So your first question was, is my neck discomfort related to scoliosis? Answer is 100%. Yes, it is. The second question is, will your angle get worse with age? Answer is generally not. We say that the angle stops progressing after puberty. The point, though, is at 38 degrees, it's not a small angle, and it's something that you really want to keep a watch on in terms of what do you do. So it's not something that you can ignore. I think you need to be aware that you have a scoliosis, which means that you're going to have to work harder than somebody else. The analogy I give is playing basketball. Now, basketball is a game for tall people, but it doesn't mean that if you're short, you can't play basketball. It just means that you have to jump harder and higher than the tallest tall guy. And scoliosis is like that. So a scoliosis doesn't mean the end of all your normal activities. It just means that you have to work harder than somebody who doesn't have a scoliosis. And you should also keep a watch on it. Just have your angles assessed every few years, particularly if you feel your back pain getting worse. I would say that back pain in you is inevitable. So you do need to take extra precautions in relation to seating, work, posture, lifting, all of those things that we should all do, but, you know, generally don't do until something goes wrong.
Ong via text says, I had a badminton accident 4 years ago. I sprained my feet. I had an ACL restructure. I flipped flipped meniscal repair. After that accident and 2 years on, my spine has shown to be bent in a slight S shape. I have lots of back pain, shoulder pain, neck pain. Can ACL cause this imbalance of skeletal structure? I'm 27 years old now.
No, the chicken came first, not the egg. So basically, you had the scoliosis before your ACL. Right, and you go, hey, how come I never noticed it? That's because it was compensated. So you never noticed it because you had no
reason to.
Yeah, you had no deficit. So this is what happened, right? So you're now a short man trying to play a tall man's game, and you could jump very, very well before. Suddenly, you can't jump so high. Now you're going, hey, how come everybody's taller than I am? Right. So the scoliosis definitely came first. Sort of, there's no known way for that scoliosis to come after the ACL. It's just that because you're less able now, having had the injury, that you're noticing the fact that you've had the scoliosis.
And is there anything that Ong needs to do?
Okay, sounds like he's reasonably aggressive at sport. You know, if you can pop your ACL playing badminton. I think the first thing is you need to channel some of that energy towards back care. So swimming's a lovely exercise for scoliosis. So if you can swim, particularly freestyle, so that would be a really good exercise that you can do to rehabilitate the back as well as the lower limbs. I think you need to reconsider how aggressively you play or what you play to try and have it such that it doesn't hurt. And those are probably the two practical things I would say.
What advice would you have for people who are listening to this and, you know, glaring at their mobile phones thinking, why have you done this to me?
Okay, scared tortoise. So the problem with all of us is that we are brave tortoises. So we have our neck stuck out away from our chest all the time. A scared tortoise has his neck tucked into his shell. So if you're texting and you're slightly conscious of the fact that you may be causing yourself some harm, just be a scared tortoise. Pull your neck back. And then if you can still text with your neck back, you're probably okay. If you can't, consider starting some supporting some heads-up displays on Kickstarter. So I've actually bought one. It's like a Google Glasses kind of thing, which, you know, I think eventually we'll all be using in some way, shape or form. because it doesn't make sense to use phones the way we do. It's more logical to have a heads-up display where you're looking up, looking forward, and having something projected in front of your eye. Either that or use your phone less, lah.
Thank you very much for coming in. I've been speaking today with consultant orthopedic surgeon Dr. Rajesh Singh. We've been discussing neck pain. You've been listening today to Health and Living, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.